This summer, we did a series called Backstage Stories, right? So it's a little reprise during this Advent season of Jesus' backstage story. Who are the people and the characters that make up before, as Jesus was born, who are these people that make up this story? Jesus' backstage story included a wide variety of people. An educated priest and an uneducated animal watcher, in fact, a few of them. A woman who thought she was too old to have a baby, and a girl not yet married. A group from a faraway foreign country, and guys who worked the night shift. We learn right away that God is not reserved for a certain kind of person. He makes that clear by including all of these different kind of people in his birth story. And Jesus' relatives way back, if you were to look at his genealogy in Matthew, there is Jacob, the deceiver, Tamar with a messed up tragedy life family story, Rahab, a prostitute, and Ruth, the foreign-born follower of Naomi. Jesus' relatives also include a bunch of people we know nothing about. Ram, Aminadab, Azor, Mathan. Men who lived their lives with nothing special to report. You ever feel like that person? It included also King David and King Solomon. David's son from an adulterous affair. It seems that the Christmas story is the first time Jesus models his second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If each of these people was important enough to be included in the arrival of God to earth, surely every neighbor is important enough to be welcomed as a friend. From the beginning, Jesus made room for those who did not look like him, smell like him, or come from the same tribe as him. God announced Christ's birth to the whole earth, but he didn't do it on the radio. He chose individuals from unique stations and places to spread that good news, and the world has not been the same since. The story of Jesus' advent invites us to consider new ways we might enter the lives of people around us. The details of his birth open us to the possibility that every person has a place in the kingdom of God. The ways Jesus crossed boundaries of status, class, and tribe paved the way for us to cross those boundaries today. And one of the beginning places of this story is with Mary. You can see in our stable here, just Mary. And you might notice throughout our Advent season that we'll have some additions to our nativity set and perhaps even some additions to our decorations, because it's kind of fun to keep preparing for Jesus to come. You can read this week in your devotions the story of the angel coming to Mary and announcing that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and she will become pregnant and give birth to Jesus, God himself in human form. Now, I want you to step back for a moment because we often don't think about this, and it's hard for many of us to imagine just how few freedoms the Jews experienced in Mary's day. Their country was ruled by a foreign country led by a dictator king. And it had been that way for so long that they figure God has forgotten about them. Women, and even more so young women, have no status in society. They have no rights other than those that their fathers or husbands choose to give to them. And even the Jewish religious leaders, like we've been talking about in Mark, remember, have made it more and more difficult to follow all of the extra rules they keep adding to God's original law. They haven't received a word from a prophet of God in hundreds of years. The common people at this time, Mary and her family and her friends and her relatives, are living one day at a time and wondering if it even matters. And then an angel of the Lord appears, telling Mary something is about to happen which has never before in the history of the world happened. And it's not going to happen just to her. It's going to happen in her. And what is her job? What is she to do? She is simply to receive. And unlike her relative, Zechariah the priest, the old, should-be experienced religious man who questioned the truth of the angel's message to him, wanting yet another sign, and so was given a sign. Do you remember what that was? The priest who used words for all that he did, was left without a voice until his wife had her baby. Mary was not like Zechariah. She did ask a question, but not of unbelief. It was instead a question of wonder. How will this happen? And she responds with the ultimate response of open hands that I have talked about so often. She simply says, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Mary gets to participate in the truth that the angel expressed to her. Nothing is impossible with God. As Mary begins to experience the physical changes that pregnancy brings, she travels to visit her much older relative, Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. This after years and years for Elizabeth of no children, and thinking that she had been abandoned by God. When Mary arrives, Elizabeth's baby jumps for joy, jumps in her belly. Immediately, the Bible says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and pronounces a blessing upon Mary. These words confirmed what the angel had told Mary. Mary was carrying the Son of God. And it is at this moment that the Holy Spirit fills Mary yet again, and she sings a song of revolution. Mary begins to sing about her child's system-shattering future. She doesn't understand it yet. There is no way she possibly could. But the Holy Spirit came upon her and gave her a new way to look at the world. God has looked with favor upon her, a young girl, and she will become highly favored. Mercy will be poured out, and the powerful will stop lording it and their position over other people. Finally, the hungry will be fed and the rich will be held to account. The Spirit gave Mary a glimpse of the way God the Father works and the way the Son, her Son, will treat other people. Mary begins to see her place in this new world. Where once she was insignificant, she will soon be honored. Jesus will lift up the lowly and the hungry. He will humble the arrogant and the rich. And this new world begins with a young, hidden girl named Mary. Out in the cornfields in Onondaga, Michigan, about 30 miles south of here, is a residential correctional facility called Highfields. The boys who live here have had enough run-ins with the law that they are assigned to a facility for several months to learn some new skills, new ways to live. Many years ago, as I sat waiting for the director to talk about the possibility of starting a Bible study at Highfields, I noticed a stack of cards on the counter. They each had an eye on the top, just an eye. I found that creepy enough to make me curious. So I opened the card, and inside were the words, "I saw you doing something good," with some lines for someone to fill in. For a group of guys who had continually been caught doing wrong things, those words had to have been powerful. They offered the chance for the staff to send positive messages for good behaviors. I saw you doing something right. When I think about that eye, I think about Mary's song and her ability to see in a new way. Her ability to see what God had done for her. Suddenly she understood she was favored and important and not hidden. And this ability that God gave her, the Holy Spirit gave her, to put into words what God was about to do. And her son goes one step further and also rejoices over that which God is still going to do. Because God sees us the way that God saw Mary. He sees what our potential is. He sees what we can become. Before we even start thinking or feeling or acting in any loving or good or kind ways, God prophesies over us, over you. He says, "I see who I made you, I see who you can become, and I see how we can relate to one another in loving and kind ways." God sees you in a new way. I also believe that this song of Mary reminds us that God can help us to look at a situation others see as hopeless and find a sliver of hope. The Jews at the time really were quite hopeless, assuming God had forgotten. And here comes Mary singing this prophecy song that God is about to do something new, and justice will be done, and shalom will finally reign again. God can give us that small hope that maybe all of us need to move forward. God can help us to see his image in other people, even people that long have been discarded by society. God can help us connect with another person with whom we might initially have nothing in common. God reveals our common humanity and helps us reach across all kinds of barriers to find one another. Mary's song reminds us that God does not see the same way people see. What the world considers important or beautiful or smart, he scatters to the wind, choosing instead the lowly, the humble, and even the poor. Just like when God inspired the prophet Samuel to select David, do you remember when Samuel came to Jesse and he knew that he was to anoint the next king? And Jesse lined up all of his sons, all of whom were tall and strong and handsome. And one by one, Samuel went to each one and the Spirit said, "No, that's not the one." And in those days, always the oldest one got to be king, which is kind of nice for me. I'm oldest one in my family, though not the oldest boy, so I would have been looked over, right? In those days, it was always the oldest, always the strongest, and yet the Spirit kept saying no to each one until all of them were done. And Samuel turned to Jesse and said, "Well, are there any other sons? Because I know I'm supposed to name somebody the king here today." And that's when they sent for David, the youngest, out watching the sheep, right? "Well, yeah, I guess there's one more." And the youngest comes, and the Spirit says, "This is the one I have chosen." When God opens my eyes to see what he sees, I am drawn to others that other people overlook. That's how we play a part in God's story of upheaval. Don't miss this season. Mary's amazing song of love and revolution. A promise for the poor sung by the mother of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and prophesying of the kingdom of God in which we can now live. We can ask God to give us new eyes. We can ask God to help us to see others the way he sees them. We can join with Mary and rejoice when the lowly are lifted and the hungry are fed. We can look for ways to create upheaval, ignoring the arrogant and honoring the humble. We can find the hidden people and sit with them, acting as real reminders that they are not invisible to God. We can see people we previously overlooked and treat them with honor. We can do it now. We won't do it perfectly, for the kingdom is both now and not yet. There's more to come. There's more love. There's more shalom. But we, in the meantime, can hold on to hope, the first Advent candle, hope. We can ask God to open our eyes and our hands now. And we can join in Mary's song of revolution. Let's pray.